use our people in the book to study a text, a page, a verse, a pathway to God, a glimpse into the heart of the day. The eminent modern day Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel went further, teaching that each one of us is a text, a story to be read, a tale to be told, a lesson to be learned. We travel through time and experience, turning the pages in the book of our lives and read with care and purpose. We course through chapters, encounter characters, overcome obstacles, reach the end of the tale as we would reach the end of our days, a bit wiser, hoping that something enduring will emerge, trusting that those who embraced our text might grow from the beginning. I find this metaphor to be so appropriate as we gather to remember Jack Israel. The written word and the life of the mind were passionate expressions of his heart. His was indeed a wondrous text of the old days, as he turned the pages of his life with assuring, loving hand, as we learned and lived and loved all the more for having embraced him, cherishing the book of his life as it is gently closed by an unseen, loving hand. As I sat with you, Aaron, Nancy, Jessica, Steve, and Jim, you crafted for me a touching portrait of his life with laughter and eloquence, blending the verses of his text with your own. Jack was a Sephardic son of Seattle, born to a large and expansive family, seemingly related to everyone, as is so often the case in our community. Graduated from one of the big three Jewish high schools, Garfield, and went on to the U. World War II disrupted his course of studies, sending him to exotic locales like China, India, and Guatemala, returning him home to finish up in Moscow. The Sephardic kosher nostra did its work well, as Jack met a wonderful girl who fed himself and his youth. Myrna set the social scene one summer and found Jack amongst those who had stayed in the area, and so they went out. A romance blossomed into a life partnership spanning 50 years. Myrna's extroverted nature complemented Jack's more low-key approach. They traveled extensively around the globe and built a home and a family, the fruits of which surround us today. Karen, you especially remember family trips to ocean shores, learning to ski with Dad, and Saturday afternoon trips to scenic venues like the Arboretum to entertain Jack's love of photography. Nancy, these memories are precious to you too, and you recall that Jack was always there for you, your steadfast, sure, and unqualified champion. Jessica, you possess a unique and special relationship with Jack. After Myrna passed, previous Grammy-dominated days became a popu-centric period, a time when new facets of Jack's personality emerged, and you came to know him in different ways. And you were there for him during these last difficult months, providing the love, care, and support that only the devoted grandfather can give. And Jack so aptly described it, you were his image. You were also often his lunch here, and Jack relished the opportunity to tell waitresses that you were his fiance, just to gauge their reaction. He thought it was hilarious. The look on the face of the waitresses, not so much. You learned from Jack, Jessica, the critical importance of family, those bound by blood, and those bound by a deep, lasting friendship. Will, you'll speak in a few moments, but you remember your papu as your first kind of major arms dealer when your parents wouldn't allow you to have toy guns like all the other kids. Jack would go and craft you something in his woodshop. You also remember, most importantly, that Jack tried so hard to help you to see the world through his eyes, eyes that looked at the world in a very special way. Steve and Jim, you'll also offer some personal reflections in a moment, but you both value Jack's embrace of family, not always the easiest thing for his Sephardic fatherly daughter. Our minds are awash in a cascade of images, shards of memory that are ours forever, and thus Jack is ours. We remember a quirky sense of humor that bordered on the silly at times and that produced seriously groan-worthy puns. Even Jack's last words came with a wink and tongue-in-cheek. We remember the gardener and the lover of nature. We remember the guy who didn't really need or walk the spot remember the well-read, learned man who enjoyed arguing both sides of an issue as an exercise in intellectual rigor. And we remember the poet's glory, whereas Jack Quaid, the poet low-rated, who began writing verse to celebrate family gatherings, but whose beautiful creative spirit found profound expression in choice words. When Jack would meet someone and he detected that they came from elsewhere, he enjoyed discovering their nationality to see whether he had visited that country. Often he had. And he took great pride in offering a salutation in their native tongue. Jack, though you have gone from this world to what lies ahead, you are vitally present in our hearts, minds, and memories. Or of object. I'd like to ask grandson Will and son-in-law Jim to speak if you come forward.
of spontaneity, how quickly you put something together. One of the last trips we took with them to Mexico, before they even finished serving lunch on the plane, he had already finished one poem and had handed it off to the flight. So then when Nancy and Karen asked me to say a few words, I figured it would be appropriate to get those words right. So taking a leaf from his spontaneous poem, I think I put something together driving here from home, which is extremely hard to do even with that transition. So what I've done is I put together a poem, five-line anapestic meter with words titled that I've given his epilogue. Jack's a poet, he will also in rhyme for his preferences, wrote about life, all his joys and his struggles. But I wonder what he writes about it.
So when she hasn't noticed already, my grandfather was quite a poet. My father always said that poetic talents were hereditary and that he got his from his father-in-law. So I may be a little bit more of the directional in line, and I thought I too would follow in my grandfather's lead and lead him with a poem. They say you're gone, but how could that be? You just came in the garage with wooden toys for me. They say you left, but it can't be true. We're still laughing at all the jokes that you made. They say you're gone, but how could that be when I live by my side and it's you that I see? They say you left, but it can't be true. There's still more of the world I come to see with you. They say you're gone, but how could that be when you're the one helping me write this poetry? They say you're off to a better place. So give a kiss to my granny, if that's